Blog Talk Radio. behold the precious Lamb of God. Welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Shofars of Glory Global Fellowship. Amen. Amen. I am your host, amen, Prophet Yehoshua Brown. Amen. I am joined by, amen, one of the daughters of Zion. Amen. Minister Sharon. Amen. Amen. I'd like to give honor to God. Amen. And I also like to give honor to my wife, the elect lady. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we're just going to relax. Amen. And let God have his way on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to get into a word of prayer, and then we're going to go straight to the book of pain in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for your will, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you do a supernatural work in the spirit realm right now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Dispatch your holy angels tonight, Lord God. Lord God, annihilating everything that's not like you, Lord God. Annihilating everything that is unholy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I thank you for the church that you purchased with the shedding of your own blood. I thank you for your begotten son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, who is the way, the truth, and the light, Lord God. So, Lord God, I ask, Lord God, to give me the eyes of an eagle in the spirit realm, the nose of a bear, the ears of an owl, God. Lord God, mix it together, Lord God, only as the spirit of God can do it, Lord God. So, Lord God, I ask for insight, foresight, Lord God, to go into the scriptures, Lord God, to mix it harmoniously, Lord God, as you see fit, God. Let it quicken, let it edify, let it exhort the people of God in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, decrease us tonight. Let your spirit increase, Lord God. Break up the fallow ground on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that we all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch Pastor Hill on tonight, Lord God, and those who work in the controls, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God. Bless this ministry that you set me in, Lord God, authorized in, Lord God, consecrated into, God. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that, Lord God, you allow your spirit to go forth on tonight, that you go to work, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Holy Spirit on tonight. We thank God for the anointing that destroys every yoke. We thank God. Amen. I believe there is only one God. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I believe, amen, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God as the scriptures reveal. I believe, amen, that we're built on an apostolic prophetic foundation where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. I preach the whole Lamb of God, pure spot, without no spot nor blemish. Amen. The whole entire 66 books. Amen. I don't believe the law was done away with. I believe that Jesus Christ come to bring a supreme understanding of what was already written. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about on tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about, if I had to use for a theme tonight, it would be three times a lady. Amen. Three times a lady. I know you hear that title and you thinking a whole bunch of things. Amen. But I'm not talking about the Commodores, amen. I'm not talking about Lana Richie and them. I'm not talking about Motown. I'm talking about three times a lady. We're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about three type of women, amen. We're going to talk about three type of women that were married to David, amen. And I'm talking about Micah, Abigail, and Bathsheba, amen. These three women represents, amen, the one was fleshly, one was spiritual, and one was soul. The Apostle Paul, it says in the New Testament, amen, that he prayed holy that your whole spiritual man be preserved to the day of Christ Jesus. And he was talking about the body, he was talking about the soul, and he was talking about the spirit, the triune parts of a man, which reflects also the triune parts of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Rabbah Shanda, because there's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Ghost. And we know, amen, that Jesus Christ came in the physical form, and we know, amen, that the Father, amen, represents the thoughts and the movements of God and his will, amen, that represents the soul, the intents of who God is, amen, higher than the highest heights, deeper than the deepest depths. We also know that the Holy Spirit represents the Spirit of God, amen, but all these things are one, amen. So all of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, shall come into an understanding about three times a lady. We're going to come from my first text, amen. We're going to come from 2 Samuel. I hope I get through this tonight, amen, because there's so much in here. So, but we're going to go to work, amen, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I like to honor once again, amen, Pastor Hill, amen, the assistant pastor, amen. I like to honor him and Evangeline, amen. I like to honor everybody, amen. All the, amen, all the new women on the wall, amen. The wall is definitely fortified. Amen. We thank God for you in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we're going to start now. If I had to build this thing up in the name of Jesus Christ, about Micah. Now, of course, David was in covenant with King Saul, and King Saul told David, "Well, if you take care of Goliath, you'll get my daughter, amen, and things of that nature." He cut a deal, and if you bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines, amen, then you can have my daughter. If you bring me some foreskins of some Philistines, and David paid 100 foreskins for her. Now, some translations say he brought him 200, amen, but David went and killed him about 200 men and took the foreskin off their male organs and brought them to Saul. Amen. We reminded in the scriptures when Moses did such a thing, when he circumcised his son, his wife said, "Thou art bloody man, thou art bloody man." But David's first wife, Micah, she represents the flesh. She represents the physical. She represents the carnal. She represents the natural. And Saul's daughter was a proper girl. Amen. She was a proper girl. You know, she was raised up, amen, like in church, amen. She was raised up in the synagogue, amen. And she was a proper girl who neglected sound doctrine. She neglected Bible doctrine. And one thing about her, she became comfortable. She became self-righteous, amen, and legalistic, amen. And what that means is her self-righteousness leads to being emotional, leads to being bitterness, leads to being judging her husband. And David was her husband. And well, we're going to watch in this story, amen, or just how the relationship between Micah and David, amen, how it comes to a head in the name of Jesus Christ. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead, minister. In verse 14, it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." Amen. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Amen. I thought your call had got dropped. Amen. Hallelujah.
He unmuted me.
Oh, yeah. Unmuted you. Okay. Amen.
Yeah, he
so in verse 14.
Amen.
Okay. I got you back with me. In verse 14, it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. So here we go. Amen. David is getting his praise on, and he's dancing with the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen and ephod, very thin, amen. But David starts to get his praise on, amen, and he had like this, almost like a skirt-looking like type of garment on, amen. And he's getting his praise on, and so the Bible says in verse 15 that David and the whole house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, the covenant, with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet, amen. So the shofars was blowing, amen. A fresh anointing was dropped from heaven. I'm talking about they're praising the Lord, right? And so in verse 16, what do you have, minister?
"And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart."
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at Micah. Amen. This is a match made in the natural. Amen. Not really in heaven, but this is a match made in the natural because we have David dancing and praising the Lord, his God. Amen. And his wife, Micah, looking out the window. Amen. And the Bible says, as he began to dance before the Lord. So that lets us know he's not doing this thing in carnality. He's not doing this thing in the natural. He's not doing this thing for folk attention. He's not doing this thing to seem more religious than everybody else or more spiritual than everybody else. The Bible says he's dancing before the Lord. So if he's dancing before the Lord, that lets me know that David's seeing something in the spiritual realm that was all God and no flesh. Come on, Holy Ghost. David's seeing something in the spiritual realm, amen, that looked like God, that resembled oh God. He saw a spirit, amen. I believe he saw God, amen, because this is the same David that wrote the book of Psalms, amen. He said, my Lord said to my Lord, sit on the right-hand side. I mean, David was a prophet, amen. David was able to see some things in the spirit, amen. So I believe that David saw God move. I believe that David saw God, amen, presence fall, and he began to get happy. And as his wife looked out the window, the Bible says she despised him in her heart. So wait a minute. That lets us know his wife didn't say anything, but she thought something. And because she thought something, that means the Lord heard her and the Lord saw her. Oh, God, we remember in the story of Abraham and Sarah, amen. And Sarah was in the tent, and she thought, amen, Abraham and God was sipping something. Don't hang up the lines. Let me finish. And she thought Abraham and God was drinking something, because God said that you know you're gonna have a child, and she said to herself, well I have big pleasure. And God said, yeah, you're gonna open up shop again, amen. You're gonna have a son in the name of Jesus Christ. You're gonna have a child, and Sarah began to laugh about this whole thing. Amen. And then, you know, when God said, well, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. And he said, yes, you did laugh. Amen. Yes, you did laugh, you know. And why? Because God heard her, even though he was having a conversation with Abraham. But God being omnipresent and omnipotent, amen, God heard her on the inside of her. Don't you know you can sit there and talk to yourself and think nobody can hear you on the inside of you, but then ain't nobody hear you but God? I might can hear you, and, you know, nobody else might can hear you, but I come to learn that God can hear you, amen. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ, amen, he know what was in man. He know the thoughts of man. My God, he know the hairs on our head is numbered, amen. God knows everything, amen. He counsels everything out of the counsel of his own will. So she despised him in her heart. I got to keep going, amen. Now, so we see that he's praising the Lord, and then what began to happen, amen, they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, and they set it into place, and then they made offerings, amen, and then he dealt among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, and well to the women and to everyone. So guess what? He gave the bread, the flag on the wine, and everybody celebrating, and then everybody went home. And then this, when David begins to go home, this is what happens when he gets to his house. Read verse 20.
Verse 20. Then David returned to the blessed his household, and Michal and the daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaid of the servant.
Hold it right there. Now, watch this. Now, when David came home, Micah, the daughter of Saul, now, his wife come out to meet David. David is expecting a hug. David is expecting a kiss. David is expecting, you know, my God, we're going to celebrate because God is doing something powerful. But what David got when he got home, my God, she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? And David looking like, he's looking for a hug and affection, but what he got? She said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? She goes in, yeah, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaiden. So watch this. She ain't say man. She ain't said people. She singled out handmaid. So that lets me know women. So what Micah saw, oh God, what Micah saw was women. She ain't saw none of the men was there. All she saw was women. And why is that? Amen. Because we know that, hallelujah, that Micah was attracted to David. Come on, Holy Ghost. Micah was attracted to David, amen, because everybody knew. It was no secret that God was doing something special in David's life. It was no mystery, amen, that David had a special kind of anointing on him, amen, and that God was doing something after Saul. And everybody knew, amen, that Saul, amen, had lost the spirit of God, and that it was just only a matter of time, amen, before God began to move and dethrone Saul permanently. And so everybody knew that David moved so mightily. He became known as a man of valor, man of war, amen. He got all these things going for him, so it was just a matter of time, amen, because the people began to expect David to be king, amen, because the anointing was so strong on David. And my God, and his wife come out the house, amen, and she said, yeah, you uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaiden. But my Bible said in verse 14, the only thing David did was dance, and he had this thin linen on, an ephod, and I guess why he was dancing, you know, that thing went up and showed a little bit too much of his leg, amen? It showed too much of his leg, but the thing that the Bible says is that he was dancing before the Lord. In verse 16, we know that it said that he was dancing before the Lord. He was not dancing for folk. He was not dancing for people. The key word that messes Micah up, I want you to remember this, the key word that messes her up is that he was dancing before the Lord. And guess what? David saw the Lord. He saw the presence of the Lord, but the problem was Micah didn't. Oh, God. The problem was Micah didn't, and David did. And so when David did it, Micah didn't understand why David was doing it. So because Micah was in the flesh, Micah could only understand that, okay, he's doing this, and he's doing this for folk. He's doing this for the women. He's doing this for the people in ministry. He's doing this, oh God, for Saul. He's doing this for Nathan the prophet to get a favor with him. He's doing it because he wants people to see him. Now watch this. Who covered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of the servants as one of the vain sellers shamelessly uncovered himself. So this is the, watch this. So watch this. This is the king of Israel she talking to. And she, Micah talking to David like he ain't got no type of anointing. She talking to David like he ain't no bit anointed as the back door. Oh, come on, somebody. We'll finish reading that text, minister, in verse 20.
And as one of the vain fellows shameless uncovered himself.
My God, she said, David, he starts scripting out there. But none of that happened. Watch this. I want you to look at the Bible, because what happened is that, watch this. This thing, what she's saying he did, he didn't do. So what she taking something small, watch this. Micah, because she's fleshly, she's taking something small and she's blowing it up and making it totally big. Watch this. It's something that's nothing, but she's turning it into something. Why? Because she didn't really have a good relationship with her father. Speak, Holy Ghost. She had no relationship with her father. Amen. Because Saul, amen, he was not the kind of father type. Amen. You know, Saul, amen, was too busy trying to figure out how he's going to get a word from the Lord. So, amen, all these years of doing ministry and no presence of the Lord with him, amen, Saul ain't had time to be a daddy. Amen. Saul was all been disqualified. The time he started ministry, he was disqualified from ministry. So he's too busy figuring out how I'm going to get a word from the Lord. And so he had time to be daddy. He had time to play jump rope. But he had time to play with Barbie dolls. He had time. Amen. So that thing began to affect Micah. Oh, God. And so watch this. So now she has no honor for David. Why? Because her relationship with her own father was already strained. So when she gets into marriage, my God, the communication is already jacked up. He's a king, but yet she's talking to him like a fool. Oh, come on, God. Amen. He's a king, but she's talking to him like he's nothing. Oh, my God. He's anointed, but she talks to him like he's nothing but a disappointment. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Give me verse 21. We're staying here too long.
And David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord.
Oh, God, praise ye, Jehovah. You see that? My God. So watch this. So guess what? She come, as they say out in the street, she come out of pocket at David, oh God. And in verse 21, it says that David said unto Micah, well, let me tell you something. This thing was before the Lord. If you can't see it in the spiritual realm, I was doing it for the Lord. And it's the same Lord that I was doing it for. Listen, Micah, it was him that chose me. But yeah, before your father. Yeah, it's the same God that chose me before all his house. And yeah, your same daddy that you got problems with, he appointed me ruler over the people of the Lord. Amen. And your same daddy, amen, the same God I'm talking about, the same Lord, I will pray before him. So, and David said, this is not up for discussion. He said, when it comes to God, this thing ain't up for discussion. Verse 22, what you got?
And I will yet be more vile than thus, and I will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservant which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had his honor.
My God. So now watch this. Now David is breaking this thing down, but watch verse 23. Come on.
Therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death.
You see that? That one conversation between husband and wife resulting in her not having No baby. Come on now. Now, see, watch this. I'm trying to teach you something. Micah, watch this. Did Micah sin against God? Kinda. Well, let's break this thing down. What did she do? It was with the. It's how she handled her husband. Watch this. Now, we're talking about three times a lady. This ain't the whole message now. This is just one woman we're talking about tonight, amen. Because Micah, and this the story of David, amen, so to speak. Some of his life, but we're talking about his marriages, amen. Micah was fleshly. Come on now, somebody. Micah was fleshly. She had her own, she had her own way of looking at things. Come on now. I mean, Micah, she had a problem with her husband serving the Lord, and amen. Because she had a problem with him serving the Lord, amen, that thing affected her life. My God, that thing affected her life in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says she was barren. But we know that in the book of Genesis that he gave a decree to Adam and Eve, who was walking in king dominion, to be fruitful and multiply. And because, amen, they was walking in king dominion, amen, they began to carry out being fruitful and multiply. But, amen, now God took the authority away from her. Because when you're not able to burn out nothing, that means you have a problem, amen, with authority, so you don't walk in authority. See, God never gives authority to anybody who has a problem walking in authority. But we're talking about Micah here. Yeah, we ain't talking about Micah Jackson. We ain't talking about Micah Jordan. We're talking about Micah Saul's daughter. Amen. And now Micah represents the flesh. We're going to get into our second lady. Amen. Now this one was a spiritual woman of God. Amen. This my God. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And my God, we're going to walk this thing. Because I'm getting you to see, amen, I'm not just jumping on women, amen, but I want you to see, amen, that David had a longing, amen. He had a longing for love, and amen, and he had difficulties of finding, amen. I believe he had anywhere from 8 to 9 wives, amen, and that's a pretty long journey to go on looking for love, amen. But why, amen? Because David, watch this, he had 8, 9 wives, amen, but he had a wife for each gifting of his mantle. My God, he was so multidimensional and multi-gifted, amen, that David never really, it was like a rolling stone, amen. He never found any satisfaction, amen. Because why? Because the triune of man is body, soul, and spirit. And so now we get into this number two lady, and we're talking about, you know, Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And give me verse 1, 2, and 3.
Verse 1. And Samuel died, and all of the Israelites was gathered together, and they lamented him and buried him in the house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness to Paran. And there was a man in Nason whose possession was in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was sharing his sheep with Carmel. Now the name of the man of Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of a good understanding and a beautiful countenance. But the man who churlish and evil in his doing, and he was of the house of Nabal.
All right, now listen. Now let's go to work now, because in chapter 25 we see something. In verse 1 we find out that his mentor, his prophetic father Samuel, died. Samuel was the one that consecrated and anointed him for the office of a prophet. Amen. And he had the mantle of Samuel on his life. Amen. And so now all of Israel they had a big funeral, and the whole region was mourning. Lament means mourning, and they was mourning for him. And Samuel was so bad of a prophet. Amen. I'm talking about bad meaning good, good meaning bad. Amen. He was so good, amen, of a prophet, amen, that they buried him in his house at Ramah. He was a prophet, amen, that spit nothing but Ramah. His word did not never fall to the ground. And because he spit nothing but Ramah, it was quite naturally that they buried him in where? Ramah. Because he was that type of prophet. They buried him right there in Ramah. And so David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So guess what? David is kind of mourning, amen. He's kind of going through. And so now Now, Nabal, amen, had all these sheep, and David had some sheep and stuff, amen, and they're just cutting away sheep, amen. And the thing you see in verse 3 is that the man Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. Now, pay attention to the scripture. And she was a woman of what? Number one, I want you to see the word good. The first word I want you to focus on is good. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife find a good thing. Amen. So we know that Nabal, he had a good thing. He had a good wife. He had somebody that was good for him and good to him. Oh, come on. She was a woman of good. Amen. So the main, only thing was she was talking good, she was looking good, and her spirit was good. Oh, God. And so all three dimensions of a person, amen. Let me tell you, Abigail had, she had, amen, her look together. Amen. She had her soul together. Amen. And she had her spirit together. Amen. She was the complement of this man, and this man wasn't too good. Amen. Because the Bible says she was a woman of good understanding. Number two, amen, the second word you got to highlight in your Bible is understanding. You ain't going to be a good woman if you don't have no type of understanding. Amen. My Bible says, amen, you had to be good. She was a woman of good, and she was a woman of understanding. Amen. She didn't overstand her. Watch this. Her husband was not a good man, but even though he wasn't a good man, she did not overstand him. She still understand him. Come on now, somebody. So a good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Watch this. Understanding. So the Bible says, all that getting, get understanding. So no matter how much a person talks to you, you ain't going to get an understanding unless you listen. She was the type of woman that will listen. A good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. So countenance means expression, and so that lets us know that her face, amen, she didn't walk around with a screw face. Oh God, she ain't walk around like she about to cut somebody. She ain't walk around like she about to shoot somebody. Amen. The Bible says Abigail, amen, she had a beautiful countenance. Amen. She was the type of woman of God, when she walked into a room, amen, amen, and she stopped traffic, amen, because the glory was on her and her face was intact. Come on, somebody. But this man was churlish. Amen. The Bible said churlish, and churlish means rude, like a rude person, mean spirit. He had a mean spirit on him. He was the type of man you get in his presence, you say something ain't right about that boy. He was the type of man, amen, he was the type of man, amen, he said, man, just something ain't right about him. You ask him a question, he'll say something smart back. This is the kind of guy Nabal was, amen. If you ask him for any money, Nabal say he broke, but he got $150 in his pocket. This, Nabal wasn't right, amen. He was kind of funny, amen. And everybody knew, amen, you don't start nothing with Nabal, amen, because he's bound to cuss you out. That's the kind of man that he was, amen. The Bible said the man was churlish and evil in his doings. So not only he had a mean spirit, he had, watch this, not only he had a mean and bad spirit, but he was doing mean and bad things. And he was it was of the house of Caleb. So if he was of the house of Caleb, then if he come from that lineage, then why he wasn't doing what Caleb did for Moses? And then because the anointing was in his family, but he never took the time to tap into it. Oh God, let's keep it going. And let's go to verse 4.
And David heard in the wilderness, not Nabal did shear his sheep.
Come on, verse 5 and 6.
And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young man, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that hast.
Okay, so David's saying, amen, I'm going to send a word to this man named Nabal, and I want you to go. He sent forth his men, and he said, I want you to greet this man, the same bad man we talked about, Nabal, the one that'll cuss you out, the one that'll get smart at the mouth, the one that like to drink, smoke, and snort, and all this crazy foolishness. David said, I ain't going to him because I'm anointed, but I'm going to send my armor bearers out to him, yeah. Well, I'm going to send my armor bearers out to him, and I want you to greet him in my name. Why? Because David is what? David is king. And David, you know, he's the future, and he's anointed, and everybody knows that. So he said, I'm going to send you in my name. Amen. And this is why Jesus Christ is come of this day. He is called what? the son of what? David. He's called the son of David. Why? Because David operated in the same capacity in the natural that Jesus did in the spiritual. Why? Because David said, greet him in whose name? My name. He knew the authority in his name. And Jesus knew the authority in his name. That's why Jesus come through the lineage of David. Okay, but keep going. And the thing is, he said, listen, to him that liveth in prosperity. And David said, let him know that I know you got money, and I know you got it going on, and I know you're so-called balling or whatever the case may be, but I'm going to give you peace. Now watch this. He say peace in verse 6 about 1, 2, 3 times. 3 times David say peace. So you had to do that when you introduce yourself to somebody to let them know that, peace, I come in the name of the Lord. I'm not here to cut you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to kill you. I'm not here to do no foolishness. So that's why when you originally come to somebody, you would say, peace. And to make the long story short, David heard about, he said, I heard that thou sharest the shepherds. So what happened is that the man's shepherds were with David's people, okay? And they was protecting and honoring these men. And they didn't know him from a can of paint. So when they go to Nabal and ask him, can you feed us, give us some food and stuff, and my master David said, can you look out for us? And Nabal basically gets smart in verse 10, and he said, well, who's the son of Jesse? There'll be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. So in other words, he's saying David ain't nothing but a slave to him. This booger don't know who he's talking to. And so guess what? He said, oh, it gets better. In verse 11, he said, well, should I take my bread and my water and my flesh and that I've killed for my sharing and give it to men whom I know not? Whence they be? And so David's young man turned their way and went again and came and told him all his sayings. So when David hears this, David is, oh, my God, he's very disappointed, and I'll put that mildly. Amen. He's very upset, and he says, scrap up, get your swords. We're going to cut somebody. We're going to harm somebody. David, amen, he was a lover, but he was also a fighter. Come on, somebody. And David didn't like the language that this demon-filled person was talking. Amen. David said, I'm about to let him know surely who I am now, because if you didn't know who I was, I'm going to properly introduce myself. And so now, one of the young men, they went to Abigail, his wife, and they told Abigail, Nabal's wife, and said that, well, you know, David, you know, he sent messages out to the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. The Bible said in verse 14, he railed on them. In other words, in the street, there's something like, well, he snapped on them, he cracked on them, he disrespected them, he do shade on him. Yeah, that's if you're not really saved all the way, that's what he did. And verse 15, it said that the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, and we didn't miss anything. And as long as we was talking with them, conversing with them, we were in the field. And my God, and they said, listen, man, not only did they hold us down, but these men were like a wall to us. My God. And so now, so watch this. A wall, I mean, in this. Amen. They cared for us like we were sheep and they were the shepherds. So there was a wall to us, meaning when we sleep at night, these men are all around us and we in the middle like sheep.
Hmm.
War also means, amen, amen, they protected us in prayer because they was men of valor. They were men of prayer. They believed in God. So, yeah, there was a wall all around us. There was a wall unto us and keeping the sheep at the same time. And now because Nabal done came out of his mouth the wrong way, evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial, oh God. They call him a son of the devil, oh God. And that a man cannot speak to him, my God. He said, so watch this. So when you got a spirit in you, watch this. When you got a spirit in you that is not of God, nobody can talk to you, watch this. That a man cannot speak to him. Son of Belial means he's a wicked son of Satan. And now give me verse 18.
Verse 18. And Abigail made hate. And took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of radiant sin and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on an asset.
Verse 19.
And she said unto him, servant, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But She told not her husband, Nabal.
Oh, wow. So now, wait a minute. Well, see there, prophet? She ain't told her husband, and you said she was this spiritual woman. You say she was a woman of order and all this. Well, there it is, prophet. She ain't told her husband, so that means she out of order. Well, hold up right there. First of all, she didn't tell her husband, because if she told her husband, she wouldn't be able to save her husband.
Mm.
She wouldn't be able to save her husband. This woman is going to try to stop the men from killing her doggone husband. And if she had told her husband that, he don't know how to talk to nobody. Guess what? He would have went and said, no, I'm going to meet the boy myself. And David would have killed that boy in the street. Okay? So she didn't tell her, even though, watch this. What I love about Abigail, she's married to a man that, watch this, ain't gotten, he don't know nothing about God whatsoever. He don't want to know God. He all about liquor, drug, weed, smoke. He all about all that stuff, cussing, partying, having a good time. But guess what? She, watch this. She call it like she see it, but she still respects him.
Jesus.
She still respects him. And that's one thing I like about Abigail. Amen. Abigail is a true woman of God. Matter of fact, Makoto Boshata. Watch this. So now as she rides on this horse and she comes on the curve, right? She sees David and his man on the curve, and now David said to her, well, guess what? I kept all your husband's stuff and I kept all this man's stuff, and none of his stuff was missing, none of his sheep was missing, or nothing like that, and now he gonna give me evil for the good I done. And I tell you what, since he wanna give me evil for the good that I done, my God, I'm gonna do some more. And let God help me if I don't do so more. And then to the enemies of David, and now I'm going to leave all that pertain to him by the morning light and any that pissing against the wall. I mean, David going in, he mad, isn't he? My God. So I ain't saying no language that ain't in the Bible for those of you who are listening. You saying, oh, my God, prophet, you saying piss. You saying piss and everything else. No, that's verse 22. Stay in the Bible. Amen, amen. So David said, I'm going to kill every. In other words, the Bible saying he going to kill every man who can urinate. So David said by the time he was planning on coming in, killing everybody, everything that would look like a man, he was going to kill. And probably kill the same people they've been watching. Amen. So watch this. So now, when David and Abigail meets face to face, this is the exchange. Now we're about to see Abigail, what type of person she really is, in verse 23. Come on.
And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on his face and bowed herself to the ground.
Oh, my God. Look at her. She's bowing down before the presence of a man of God. Watch this. Why is she bowing down? Because she recognized he's a king. Oh, praise God. She bowing down because she recognized he's a king. So that means the first thing Abigail was looking at when she met David was the anointing that was on his life. The first thing that she was looking at was the anointing that was on his life. Because she recognized the anointing, because guess what? Abigail, she lightened off the ass and fell down before David on her face. She didn't fall down just on her knees. The Bible says she fell down on her face.
Right.
When do you fall down on your face? When you're talking to who? God.
Uh-oh.
Well, watch this. And bowed herself to the ground. So now watch this. Read verse 24.
And fell at the feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the word of thy handmaid.
Oh, praise God. You see this? Abigail is some kind of work, ain't she? I mean, she fell at his feet and said, upon me. You know what she said? My Lord. You know what she said, my Lord, for? She said, David, your wish is my command. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? Upon me, let this iniquity be. Now, watch this. She's saying, watch this. This wrong that my husband did, this is my fault. Let it be on my head. She knew the favor was on her. She knew the grace was on her. Now, watch this. Her husband did wrong. He came out of pocket to this man of God. But you know what she says? It's on me, David. It's on me. My bad. Why? Because she know that her husband ain't anointed, and if she said that's his bad, he gonna get killed. So she know that she's anointed. She gonna say, David, this is me. It's on me, David. Listen, David, but drop the sword, David. It's on me. It's on me. And she said in verse 24, let this iniquity be, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine own ears. So she said, let me speak to you in your men. And hear the words of thine handmaiden. You know what? What I find about that? She said, I'm your handmaiden. Oh, God, give me verse 25.
And let not thy, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Baal, even Nabal, for his name is so he. Nabal is the name of a father is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send.
Oh, praise God. You see what she said? She said, listen, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard. She said, my husband, I know my husband's a devil, okay? I know this thing I got at the house is a devil, okay? This is what I got to deal with. And she breaks it down. She said, listen, Nabal, this is his name. And so is he. Nabal is his name. Now watch this. Why is she doing that? She said, I got to tell you what it is because so you understand my position. Why? And folly is with him. And I'm saying to myself, well, Booger, why you married him? But I think, watch this, but thine handmaiden saw not the young men of my Lord, whom God, she said, if I'd have seen your men, I'd have gave them what they asked for. But because they came to him, that's why that happened. And so she said, let it be on me, because I should have been looking out, David. It's on me. Verse 26, come on.
Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from thy coming and shed blood, from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thy enemies and they that seek evil of my Lord be as Nabal.
Amen. Now watch this. Now, you see what she said? She said, listen, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as that soul liveth, seeing the Lord have withholden thee from coming to shed blood. Baby, the Lord ain't stopped me. You did. Watch this. See this thing. Baby, the Lord ain't stopped me. Baby, you did. You know what she's saying? David, the Lord's using me right now. She said, David, the Lord's using me right now. I need you to get in the spirit, David. And see, you got to recognize that the Lord is using this woman right here to try to tell you something. You see, Abigail, amen, you got to look at this thing. And he has stopped you from shedding blood and let thy enemies be. So watch this. Your enemy's going to be just as crazy as my husband. That's what she's saying. Everybody that try to come against you, they're going to be just like that thing I got back at the house. And that ain't good, David. Come on, give me the next verse. Let's go to work.
And now this is the blessing which thine handmaid had brought up unto my Lord. Let it even be given unto the young man that follows my Lord.
28, come on.
I pray thee, forgive thee, trespass thine own handmaid, for thy Lord will certainly make my Lord as sure house, because my Lord fighteth thy battle of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all thy day.
My God. Watch this. Now, see, the thing about Abigail recognized David's royal destiny. Come on now, somebody. She recognized his royal destiny. I mean, watch this. She saw all this. Now watch this. Abigail is actually a prophetess. Amen. The Bible don't say that, but she's actually a prophetess. Amen. Many Jewish rabbis, amen, they, and such Jewish literature and the writings of the rabbis, they say, amen, that she was actually counted as one of the prophetess of Israel. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Abigail was very prophetic. Amen. She got up off that horse. She saw all this looking at David. And she looking at David, she said, my God, what a man is before me. I see the glory on you. Let me tell you what the glory is outlining your spiritual DNA. The glory that is on you is just outlining everything that is going on. And I'm talking about, because I'm speaking into your royal destiny, and I heard that you're king of Israel, and she understood God's sovereign design and the prophetic. Amen. She understood this thing. And how did she understand all this? She probably was taught by Samuel. Hallelujah. She probably was taught by Samuel. But the thing is that she understood how David fulfilled prophecy. She understood how he fulfilled prophecy of the Holy Scriptures. She was a woman of the scripture. So when she looked at David, she saw him as fulfilling something. My God. She saw this man of God fulfilling something. My God. And she said nothing about how he looked. You know, you got it going on. And no. She's still in the spirit. She ain't came out of the spirit since she got off the horse. So watch this. Now, Abigail, one thing about Abigail, she was a woman who could be queen worthy to sit on the throne beside a king. I'm going to say that again. Abigail was a woman who could be queen worthy to sit on the throne beside a king. David recognized by talking to her, they were like, yeah, this, you're a queen. Yeah, it's your queen status. I see. The only reason why I'm listening to you right now because you're coming to me as a queen coming to a king. So this is why I'm having conversation with you on this level, because you said my Lord, and you say I'm your handmaiden, and you give an honor to the anointed in me, and you speak it to the king in me and not the fool in me. Oh God. Now watch this. Give me the next verse.
Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of with the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God, and the soul of thy enemies, them shall be slain out and out of the middle of the slain.
My God, you see that? She says in verse 28 down to 29, she said, listen, forgive the trespass of thy handmaiden. In other words, she's saying, listen, forgive me. And I would tell her, Boogie, you didn't do anything. Your old man did something to me. She's still apologizing. And then she goes off and says, well, the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. In other words, she started prophesying to him. She said, you will have a sure house, and your house ain't going to fall because, see, my Lord, wait a minute. Baby, you saying my Lord a little bit too much. Ain't you mad? You saying my Lord a little bit too much. She said, my Lord, a sure house, because my Lord fight the battles of the Lord. You see, she's preaching. If evil had not been found in thee all thy days. Baby, you know me when I was a kid? She prophesied to David. And in verse 29, she said, yet a man is risen to pursue thee. She's talking about Saul. Baby, how do you know about Saul? You don't stay where we stay at. I'm running from Saul, and I ain't told you I'm running from Saul. How do you know? Baby, prophetic. And yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. In other words, she's telling him that, look, this soul that's after you, amen, he seek your soul. This thing ain't personal for him. This thing is spiritual. And but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And she said, yeah, he ain't going to come after you, but Lord, but God got you. And in the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out. Watch this. Sling out. Now, how do you know? Now, she's going back to when he killed Goliath with the rock. Slingshot. How you know about the Goliath? How you know about all that? She prophesying to David. So while she's speaking, David hushing, he said, wait a minute, she anointed. And in verse 30, she talks about when it come to pass what my Lord shall have done to my Lord, when the El Shaddai have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have a point. Wait a minute, you talk to God too? They got something in common. He's like, well, you talk to God too? Because he said, it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all that good that he has spoken. Well, baby, how do you know he spoke these things to me? Concerning thee, shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. And what she did? Verse 31, she says, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causelessly. Now watch this. Many of my fellow Jewish theologians feel that in this particular text, that when she got off the horse, that David was trying to get with her. stay with me. It's been often said, amen, by the various rabbis and Jewish theologians that when she got off that horse, that David was like, let's do something. And she said, well, you know, this blood, amen, I'm on my period, and you don't want to be unclean. You understand what I'm saying? And you don't want to do this thing and mess up your destiny. Oh, come on, somebody. And so they said, the King James Version don't capitalize the original of the Hebrew text that the rabbis saw. But that's what they say. I'm just going to go by what I see right here in the scripture. Okay. Now, watch this. In verse 31, I want you to pay attention to verse 31. Now, watch this. Watch this. That this shall be no grief unto thee. Now, Abigail, we're going to focus a lot on her. Why? Because she's spiritual. See, we went through that flesh real quick. But we're going to camp out in the spirit a little bit longer. Amen. Because I want you to see this thing. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Watch this. But when the watch this. That this shall be, we read verse 31. I'm doing your job.
That's okay. That this should be no grief unto thee, nor offenses of the heart unto my Lord. Either thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid.
Ain't that something? Look at that. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, listen, mm-hmm. When God put you on the throne, yeah, David, when God give you everything that he prophesied over you, yeah, everything that Samuel said you was going to get, yeah, everything that I'm telling you you're going to get, when it come to pass, David, hey, come holler at me. Come get me, David.
Jesus.
Baby, ain't you married? Uh-oh. Baby, ain't you married? But what the Bible said, but when the Lord shall have dealt what?
Remember
thy handmaiden. The Bible says that she said, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, when he manifests this thing, as he bring this thing to pass, and listen, then remember thy handmaiden. She said, not when he, not before he do it, because this ain't a good time right now, because I got this thing at the house. Watch this. But when the Lord do it, then remember thy handmaiden. See, we got some religious folks out there, amen. They say, oh, prophet. Well, booger, I'm reading the Bible. What you want me to do? I'm reading the Bible. I'm in the book. All right, let's go to work, 32:33.
And David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood from the avenging of myself with my own
34.
Hand.
Come on, 34.
For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which has kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and coming to meet me, surely that has not been left unto Nabal by the morning light, any that pissed against the wall.
Come on. Now watch this. So now David, he receives her offering because she brought a bunch of sheep and wine and bread. She brought bread and wine, which is also symbolic of Christ's blood and his body. Amen. So, amen. David had a revelation. He knew about what Christ. Amen. He had a revelation about Christ. He already knew that. And guess what? Abigail was so much in the spirit, she brought him wine and bread and along with sheep and also cakes and all that stuff. I mean, this woman of God in the spirit. And so watch this. So David received of her hand, and now watch this. Now, when she get back to the house, now watch this. You remember when David got back to the house with his first wife, when he got back to his wife, Maacah, you notice that Maacah start acting crazy, right? Well, it's a little bit different when the woman on the scene. Watch this. Now, she get back to her house. Now, when Abigail get back to her house with Nabal, oh, this book in verse 36, the Bible said, I mean, he holding a feast in the house like he a king. And he ain't no king because this book ain't anointed. And the Bible said his heart was merry within him. And he was very drunken. Wherefore, yeah. She told him nothing. She said, well, listen, I can't tell him now because he's so drunk he won't remember. But I'm going to wait till the morning. So when the morning came, now in verse 37, it said it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of him, his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. In other words, that thing, guess what? She told him that because she's prophetic. When she told him that, I'm talking about that made like his heart stopped, like boom, like he is like, he couldn't move. He couldn't move. And I can understand that because I remember years ago when God had to correct me, amen. And I'm talking about when God had to correct me, amen. God gave me a word and that thing had me still for 3 days. That thing had me still for 3 days. So I understand that. But Nabal, amen, he didn't come out like I came out. In verse 38, what it said?
And it came to pass about the 10th day after that, the Lord smited Nabal that he did die.
The Bible said what? The Lord did what?
The Lord smited Nabal that he died.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. Let's work this now. It seemed like now I've been in the streets before. Now watch this. Okay. Nabal and David is talking. Okay. Abigail and David's talking. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And Abigail prophesied to him, and then at the end she said, oh yeah, don't forget about your girl. Okay. It sounds like you making plans, and then, okay, I don't get it. And then later on, she tells Nabal that, listen, you about to get your wig split, man of not God. And what begins to happen is that, you know, he gets sick or whatever. He go into shock because that word came and cut him. And then after that, God stepped in and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God do something like that? Let's stop right there. Why would God do something like that? Why? Because Abigail was a holy, anointed vessel by God, and God knew that she was in a position that she shouldn't have been in. And if God had left it up to Abigail, she would have never left him.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail would have never left Nabal, no matter how evil that booger was. She would have never left him. So God said, you know what? Baby, I got to free you myself. Uh-oh, my God, I'm about to dance. He said, I'm about to free you myself. Oh, God, watch this. God said, I'm about to free you myself. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible said, after 10 days that the Lord smote Nabal, then he died. Watch this. Read verse 39.
And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hands of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal up on his own head. And David sent and commanded with Abigail to her, to him, what, to wife.
Oh, God, ain't that something? Mm. Watch this. Now, David said, well, guess what? This happened to Nabal. That's crazy. Now, well, I can't say too crazy because it's scripture. But I would say this. Now, David said, he said, well, when he heard that Nabal was dead, he said, he questioned, how many people do you know that when he hears somebody die, he said, bless be the Lord. Y'all see this thing in the spirit. Verse 39, the Bible says, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord. How many people you know that die? And they say, hey, you know, old boy died. He said, oh, praise the Lord. That can start a fight. Somebody can get hurt when you say that when somebody died. But that was my cousin. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible said, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. Guess what? If David was alive now and Nabal just died yesterday and David said that, you know what y'all would say? Clearly, you ain't no prophet of God. Come on. Clearly, you can't be no prophet of God. But guess what? That's why it pays to be in the spirit. When David heard that Nabal was there, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord that had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, who had kept his servant from evil. God knew that David wanted to kill Nabal. But guess what? God can know, watch this, God can know exactly how you're feeling. And don't think that God won't intervene, because guess what? God will step in. Watch this. Watch this. For the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own hand, and David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Now watch this. Watch this. David, watch this. David initially did, he didn't want Abigail. But as they began to talk, he saw that they had a lot in common. But guess what? Abigail was the aggressor. Are you listening? Abigail was the aggressor. A lot of y'all look at the book of Ruth, and y'all say, well, you know, guess what? Boaz ain't said nothing to Ruth. Ruth was the aggressor in that. Oh, God. Ruth was the aggressor in that. Sure was. Oh, Lord. And if it wasn't for Naomi, she'd have missed her boo thing. Okay. Better get your wife life. Okay, I'm trying to help some folk tonight. Watch this. Verse 40, come on.
And when the servant of David came upon Abigail to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife.
You see, David doing a little bit too much. You see this? Now watch this. He going to send an entourage to get her. That's symbolic to him sending a limousine to pick her up. Mm-hmm. The Bible said the sons of David come to Abigail to Carmel, and they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him the wife. And you know what she did? What they said in verse 41, minister?
And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord.
Oh, my God. She is so humble and so anointed and so, my God. David ain't nowhere around. But because these men are David's servant, you know what she said? Oh, my God. She said, let thy handmaiden be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. She said, listen. She recognized, like, listen, y'all about to work for me. So let me show you how much humility and submission I'm bringing. Let me show you how much good I'm going to do to your king. And guess what? If I was the man that was coming to get her, when I get back to David, you know what I'm going to say? David, you sure pick a good one. Why you say that? Why you say that, my son? Man, she washed all our foot, man. And I've been walking for about 6 days. You understand what I'm saying? Guess what? The people that surround David, they're going to be happy at his selection. Why? Because she washed the feet of the servants of the Lord. Verse 42, come on.
And Abigail hasted and arose and rode up on an ass with 5 vessels of her that went after her, and she went after the messenger of David and became his wife.
Wow. So watch this. Abigail, she hurried, she rode upon an ass, and with 5 damsels. So watch this. She had 5 women of hers. So it's 5 + 1 = 6. So she had her own females and the men accompanied them. And the Bible said, went after her, she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Became his wife. She was processed to be his wife. Okay, watch this. Go ahead, 43.
And David also took Ananias and Zerah, and they were also both on them his wife.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm picking your spirit, amen. Now watch this. Watch this. Look at your neighbor and say, that one was a political arrangement.
That one was a political arrangement. See.
Let me help some of y'all that's listening to me around the world. Amen. Some folk are married. Other people just got an arrangement. All right? Some people are married. Some people just got business partners. Amen? Okay, watch this. But watch this. We kind of forgot about somebody in this story. In verse 44, it's one person we forgot about. Verse 44, back at home.
But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Pelaiah and the son of Lachish, which was of Gilead.
Amen. So watch this. Michal loved David, but guess what? She wasn't going to leave David. So Saul said, listen, I give you away. He gave his daughter away. Okay? Why? You ain't going to do my daughter like that. I'm going to give her somebody else. So watch this. Whether she wanted to leave David or not, it was her decision. Because if the king give you away, that's it. That's it. You ain't had no say-so in it. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go to the last one. Now, watch this. We talked about the fleshly woman. We talked about the spiritual woman. Now we're going to talk about the famous story that we all know, amen, the one concerning David and Bathsheba. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'm just going to scan through this real quick, amen, and I'll let you know when to come in. Now, what happened was all the kings go forth to battle. We know all the kings go forth to battle. And so now all the kings go forth to battle. And when I was meditating on this, God allowed me to see, he allowed me to see something in this. Now, this was a time of year where all the kings go to battle. And so in verse 2, it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Hold it right there. David knew exactly where to go, how to go. And the thing that the Lord allowed me to see is that he allowed everybody that was in his circle to go away. He allowed everybody to go away, and he stayed back. Okay? And the thing is, how we know that he ain't never saw her washing before and just kind of like, you know, did a Stevie Wonder thing and said, oh, no. And maybe he entertained that thing. That thing was kind of lingering. And then one day he just got up off his bed and said, I think it's just this time of day she be washing. I think I'm going to go over there and take a look. And the Bible says David sent. Now, I want you to compare Abigail to Bathsheba. Watch this. I want you to compare how he met Abigail to how he met Bathsheba. Watch this. See, Abigail was a woman of standard. She was a queen worthy to sit on the throne of a king. Okay? But watch this. Bathsheba, she's a totally opposite woman. Amen? Hallelujah. Because guess what? If she was in his marriage and she was happy with Uriah, let me just break this thing down. Kata boshata. Let me break this thing down for you. Now watch this. In the good man, good woman syndrome, in that whole scenario, Uriah was in love with his wife Bathsheba. In his eyesight, she was the perfect woman for him. Okay? But it was not like that on Bathsheba's side. Okay? Okay? Now, even though David was king, and when he ordered her to lay down with him, she could have easily said, I refuse because my love is just that deep for my husband. Okay? And he probably could have ordered her to be killed and things like that, but baby, you saved. You understand what I'm saying? But David was a handsome man, and oh, God, and he was a handsome man, and David was a lover. Hallelujah, Jesus. And because of all that, amen, she said, you know what, you know, if, you know, since you're the king and everything, you know, you really is the king, and I guess, you know, and I can just tell my husband that, you know, you is the king, and what do you expect me to do? And yeah, and so now the Bible said that she was washing herself, and she was very beautiful to look upon. So the spirit of lust and perversion gets on David real bad, and then all of a sudden he sends for her, amen. And then somebody said, well, ain't this Uriah's wife? And so the Bible says somebody actually saw it and said that that's Uriah's wife. And David sent messengers, took her, and she came in unto him. It don't say where she resisted. I don't even see a conversation going down, amen. And the Bible says she sent messengers. They sent messengers, took her. She came in unto him, and prophetically, I think David was already laid out when she got there, and she already knew, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she, guess what? Because it was a certain time of day that you had to get clean, and she returned into her house. And the Bible says in verse 5, she conceived and told David, I got a child, David. Conceived. So watch this. So something was birthed by her and David getting together. There was no child that came out of her womb, but watch this. There was no child that came out of her womb, but yet the Bible says she conceived. Why? Because there was a soul tie that was birthed out of what her and David was doing.
Jesus.
There was a soul tie that was birthed out of what they was doing. That's why Abigail was spiritual, Michael was fleshly, but this right here is soulless. Why? Because David will, his heart, his emotions is involved in this thing. Yeah, and now David cooks up the plot, the intricate plot, amen, and he puts this thing in motion to put Uriah on the front line and get him killed. And now we go down to verse 26, amen. Read verse 26, minister.
Verse 26 states, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she moaned for her husband.
Now watch this. Baby, you ain't never took the time to think that maybe your husband ain't died by no coincidence?
Jesus.
Okay, she ain't never took the time to think that, wait a minute, David, how come all of a sudden my husband died? Okay? When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. But my thing is, you mourn for your husband when he's gone, but when he was alive, you laid with David so easily. Oh, God. Oh, God. Can I keep it real? And verse 27 says, when the mourning was past, watch this. This mourning here was not sincere. Can I keep it real? This mourning here that she was doing was not sincere. Because it is written in Scripture, amen, and also in Israel, that any time somebody died, they need about at least 30, 60, or 90 days to mourn. So, amen, and mourning was kind of mandatory. And if you didn't mourn for somebody, it was almost seemed like a disrespect. So you had to mourn even if you didn't really want to mourn. Okay? So when the mourning was passed, this was religion. This was not something that she actually felt in depth. Now, I imagine you live with somebody that long, she's going to be hurt somehow. And then watch this. David did what David does. David what? David sinned, and he what? And he fetched her to what? To his house, and she what? Became his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased. So now what he did, God didn't like that. Well, why didn't God like that? Okay, let's compare it to what Nabal, because now watch this. Now he kind of in the mess that Nabal was in. Oh, God. Yeah. Now we got to compare it to what Nabal was. Now watch this. Nabal's heart wasn't right. Nabal had the wrong spirit on him. So when Nabal spoke, he didn't represent no kind of God, no kind of kingdom, no kind of light. He represented the enemy. He represented the enemy, Satan. He represented him. Okay? But when David spoke, he represented God. And when David did this thing and sinned against God, David became flesh. Even though he became flesh and was backslidden, David still belonged to God. He still belonged to God. Now watch this. The thing that he did displeased the Lord. The thing that Nabal displeased the Lord. See, the difference between Nabal and David is David had grace on his life. Watch this. Why he had grace on his life? He had grace because his heart was right. Not to say it still ain't had no excuse, but his heart was right. Nabal's heart was not right. Watch this. Nabal's heart was not right at all. His heart, watch this. Anytime your heart and your spirit ain't right, and that the God Almighty got to come down from heaven and knock you out of here himself, boy, you did something wrong. Okay? She became his wife, bare him a son. Now watch this. So David got a child, right? David got a child. And so this thing displeased the Lord. Why? The thing displeased the Lord because he killed Uriah. Okay? God was mad that he committed adultery. But he was disgusted that David had killed Uriah. God saying, you're doing this thing like you ain't even saved. So because David stepped out of the will, God sent somebody who was in the will to put David back in the will. Speak, Holy Ghost. And in chapter 12, we see that the Lord sent Nathan. Oh, God. Nathan was a prophet. Amen. He was also a seer. He was also a seer that had a priesthood, a major priesthood anointing as a prophet. Oh, God. Nathan was taught one of them prophets. Amen. Is either holiness or hell. And then my God and Nathan had that type of wisdom. Amen. That says, you know what? I can't step to David any kind of way because, you know, David is in his flesh right now. And if I tell him something, he's going to want to jump on me. And I might not make it out of there, and I got more work to do for the Lord. And I'm going to use discernment. Amen. You know what us, you know, us seasoned prophets and seasoned leaders say, you know what? I'm going to use wisdom with him. I'm going to use wisdom with him. You know, when we say that thing, we know, okay, this person here, they in their flesh. I don't know how they're going to take it. I got to use wisdom with them. Amen. Now, he tells the story of the lamb, and that's what God had kind of gave to the prophet, a parable that says that, see, watch this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, Bathsheba was Uriah's lamb. She was his lamb without no spot, no blemish. She was the woman of his dreams. She was the woman that he fell in love with. Okay? She was everything to him. Okay? Okay? And the Lord basically said, you took that lamb, dress it up for, watch this, and you dress it up and basically take the little sheep for yourself. And David, watch this, David pronounced his own judgment. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Watch this. Now watch this. He tells David, you are the man. Not only you are the man, but thus says the Lord. Okay? Now watch this. When a prophet says, thus says the Lord, yeah, you better pay attention. I anointed thee king over Israel. Number one. Look at your neighbor. Say number one. I anointed thee king over Israel. God said, I put the power of the Holy Ghost on you. All right? For you to do the work of being king over my son Israel. The tribes, amen, the people of Israel. Okay? Look at your neighbor and say number two. And number two, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. God said, yeah. Saul, if I hadn't intervened, you'd have been a dead harp player. Amen. He said, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee your master's house, and I gave you your master's wives. He said, I gave you Saul's house, I gave you his wives, and I gave you the house of Israel, I gave you of Judah. And God said, if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. God said, you had so much power, you had so much, I'm talking about so much grace for me, David. If you wanted the woman, all you had to do was pray to me and ask.
Jesus.
Oh, God. But God, I felt like you wouldn't have gave it to me. Now you had grace on your life. Watch this. If you wanted her, all you had to do was talk to me. God said, if it had been too little, I would have been such and such and such. Oh, God. Let's work. And he said, God also said, oh, God, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. So watch this. If you trace the lineage of Bathsheba, you will begin to find out that she is also, watch this. If you look in the lineage of the New Testament, you find out that in some places it says Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. It don't say the wife of David, it says the wife of Uriah. Why? Because heaven still recognized her as belonging to Uriah. He never lost his right to her. Oh, God. See, if God don't give you a divorce, baby, you ain't divorced. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. If God don't give you a release, baby, you ain't released. So when you look at the lineage, it says that Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. So watch this. David was sharing a wife that belonged to her. Watch this. It was like an old R&B song, you know, over here and you're somewhere on the other side of town. Yeah, it was that thing going on. David was sharing a woman that actually half of her belonged to somebody else. Watch this, watch this, watch this. So, amen. So, in the household, she could not love David all the way like he needed to be loved. Why? Because emotionally, she was still attached to Uriah. Oh, God. All my sisters out there, wave your hands, because you, Amen. You know, amen, when you love somebody, hallelujah, Jesus, and you're in love with that man, amen, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and it don't work out, but you're still, amen, in love with him, and you done moved on, amen, but the, amen, as you lay in your bed and your face to the wall, amen, you kind of think about him from time to time, but you're still in a situation, amen, but yeah, you still wonder about that situation, and that only is an indication, amen, that you're not fully committed to the situation that you're already in. And yeah, David, the Bible said, now the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou did this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You see this? That's what David was worried about. That's what David was worried about, because he knew what happened to who? He knew what happened to when he took Abigail. David know what happened, amen. He know the law. He know the scriptures. He know how it go. He know God, amen. He know God is, amen, he's a consuming fire. And Nathan said, you know what, you ain't going to die. You ain't going to die. Watch this. He said, the child also that is born to thee, it shall surely die. So now God said, because you did this thing, now your child you're about to have with your new wife, the child ain't going to make it. And guess what? This thing happened a long time ago. Are you listening? This thing happened a long time ago. But my Bible said that he visits the iniquities of the father down to the third and fourth generation. So guess what? Your daddy could do something. Your great-granddaddy can do something. But guess what? Now you away in 2016, and all of a sudden you have a baby, and the doggone baby don't make it. Why? Because granddaddy did something jacked up. Are you listening? Are you listening? Why? Because the Bible says he visits the iniquity of the father down to the third and fourth generation. So that which you do now can affect your son. That which you do now can affect your grandbaby. That which you do now can affect your great-great-grandbaby. Are you listening? And David, yeah, he laid out all night before the Lord. He cried, he wept, he fasted, he laid on the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But you know what? David didn't want to eat. He said, no, Lord, please. Oh, David, you got to eat something, man. It's been a couple of days. No, don't hold me. Go back to the Lord. Lord, please. And the Lord ain't budging. And it came to pass on what day? Verse 18. Come on. Say the day and then stop.
Which said 17?
Verse 18.
And it came to pass on the seventh day.
What
that this child died.
What
the seventh day? It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servant of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if he tell him that the child is dead?
You see? Now watch this. It happened on the seventh day. The seventh day, the Bible says God did what? He rested. He rested on the seventh day. So David's child died on the seventh day. What God was saying to David? Okay, now you can rest. It's over now.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling David, you can rest now, okay? All right, you got a kingdom to run. You still got work to do for me. Get back on the battlefield. Do what you have to do. All right, your child dead. All right, get over it. And guess what? You can tell by the way David bounced up after the child dies. The Bible said in verse 20, he arose from the earth, washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and did what? Worship.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to his own house, and when he required, they put bread before him and he ate. And now they're even more confused. They said, well, he acting like he cool now. Why? Because he done talked to the Lord. See, guess what? Even though his child died, his relationship with the Lord went to another dimension. And the Bible says, amen, as I close, that David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord did what? The Lord loved him. You see that? So he lost one, but then the next one, God established the lineage. So why? Because God had to get the junk out of the way. God had to get the sin out of the way. And so with the thing of the message that I want to get through your head tonight, amen, for those who are in marriages, those who are in relationships, you got three different types of people, amen. You got your fleshly people. You got your natural people who only care about the things of the natural, who only care about the things of the world and cannot discern the things of the Spirit of God. And you also got people who are spiritual, people who are set the standard, people who are worthy to survive or sit on the throne, whether they be a king, whether they be a queen. And you also have people that are soulishly, that, you know, you just love. But you know what? You got to stay in the Spirit. You got to learn from this topic we talked about tonight, three times a lady. And this is about the story of David, amen. And he had other wives, amen, but the Lord told me to pick these three, amen. He said three times a lady, amen. And they represent flesh, you know, soul, and spirit, amen. And so some of y'all might have saw some of your ways in this, and amen. And everybody said, well, I ain't Micah. I know that I ain't Micah. I ain't Micah. I'm Abigail, okay. If you are Abigail, you'll do the works of Abigail, amen. Amen. That's our Bible study for tonight. Amen. I try not to get too happy. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. But I bless the Lord. Amen. If you're online, amen, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Amen. If you're on the lines on Blog Talk Radio at NathanOnTheSpot.com, amen, you can definitely push 1. Those who are online, on the phone lines, if you want to chime in on these three times a lady, oh, Lord, I don't know if I want to open the lines tonight. Lord, have mercy. Amen. But we're talking about three times a lady, amen. Who can you identify with? What stuck out to you about this story, about David, amen, about Micah, about Abigail, about Bathsheba, amen? There's a lot of nuggets in here, amen, but I pray that you get something out of it. Minister, what did you really take out of this story tonight?
It's just amazing that how God can just intervene and just take over. I mean, our thought process, you know, and I like it, the part where you say the ending of it, it resonated with me that we want to go into another chapter of our life, meeting another relationship, and we haven't gotten that other one out the way. And before we can go on and do the will of God, we have to get rid of all that other baggage and allow God to be lead us.
Amen. 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 I totally agree with you. That story with David, it had a lot of twists and turns. If you analyze it from Micah to Abigail, all the way down to Bathsheba, if you look at the situation, look at how it started with David and Micah. Then you see the shift happens, and then Abigail, and then Saul give Michael away to somebody else, and then David took, he got involved in some kind of political marriage, and then all of a sudden it shifts again, and then later on down the line, Bathsheba was one of his last wives, amen, and Bathsheba, she birthed out Solomon, amen. Once David got it together, amen, God just he passed it out on to the lineage through Bathsheba. Why? Because though Bathsheba slept with David, she was actually a good woman. She was actually a good woman. She was a good wife. Amen. But, you know, David knew better. Amen. David knew better. Much is given, much is required. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you're on the lines, amen, push 1. You can step in here. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a tedious topic tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't want to minister to this tonight. Lord knows I didn't want to minister this. But that's what the Lord put on my heart. He said, three times a lady. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. I know the elect lady. She's doing the Bible study. She's listening in the name of Jesus Christ. She wanted to listen to the word. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. I honor her on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all can definitely chime in on this subject. We're going to go for another minute. If nobody press one, amen, then we're going to be excused, and we're going to go off the air, and we'll see you next week, amen. Pastor, do we have anybody for tonight before we end? Okay. Well, God bless you. Well, God bless everybody who came out to listen tonight. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't see anybody else chiming in. The lines are loaded. Amen. So God bless you. We'll take you out Wednesday night for Wednesday night Bible study in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We love you. Also, thanks to Minister Sharon, amen, for Bible reading on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll see y'all all on Friday morning for Friday morning prayer, 5 a.m. Welling Travail. God bless you. Good night. Shalom.
Let it be.